Let's get into our word this morning. In your Bible First Lifestyle reading, you read 2 Chronicles 25 through 36, the little book of Obadiah, 2 Corinthians 1 through 3, and Psalm 106 to 112. Lots of scripture this week, lots of diversity all over the Bible that we read this week. And today I want to focus on 2 Corinthians chapter 1. For the most part today. We'll dabble a little bit in some other places, but 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, turn to that place. If you have your outlines, open them up. Your program inside is where all the notes are, so you can follow along with me and take your notes. If you don't have an outline or a bulletin, raise your hand right now and our ushers will serve you, as you want to make sure that you have the opportunity to take those notes. All right, let's dive in this morning. Last week, we talked about the perspective of praise. The perspective of praise. How many have been counting their blessings this week? And see, it really changes your life, doesn't it? When you each day get up in the morning and say, God, thank you for this day. Throughout the day, you take notice of the things that He's blessed you with. And at the end of the day, you look back and say, God, thank you. Even if it wasn't the greatest day. Even if there have been difficulties throughout that day, when your mind is focused with the perspective of praise, those difficulties are wonderfully put in perspective and you can see God's hand even in the difficult times. Hopefully you thought about eternity a little bit this week. That you maybe went through something, but you thought, you know, I know this is going to pass. Because God is God, He's sovereign, He's an eternal God, and this earth is not my home. That God has got a heavenly kingdom waiting for me. And the Bible talks about, let the blessed hope of the future motivate us and encourage us for today. How many need all the encouragement you can get? Yeah, me too. And sometimes this world leaves us just a little bit wanting for some kind of encouragement. Well, God says, it's okay. This is going to pass. There will be a day when you'll see me face to face. And all of these things will be a memory. All that we'll experience is His presence. The perspective of praise, it's really, really, really powerful, especially in these crazy times. Now, what that perspective doesn't mean is that life suddenly gets easier. Sorry to break that bad news for you. The perspective of praise doesn't transition everything into, oh, now it's easy to go through hard times. Now it's easy to struggle. No, it's still hard. But when our perspective changes, we begin to see purpose in the difficulties. We begin to see not always reasons, but we see God's hand moving. And that's where I want to talk to us today. I want to talk to us, how does God strengthen us through suffering? What does God do when we're going through hard times? How does He work with us? How does He talk to us? How does He want us to change our perspectives so that when we do go through those difficult times, we can actually grow? All right? So let's start in 2 Corinthians. The passage is both on the screen and in your outline. And I'll read it to you. It's a bit lengthy, so read along follow along with me as I read. Paul writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us as you help us with your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf, for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name to help us today to grasp your truth. Help us to lay hold of the understanding that even in sufferings, you are working to make us strong. God, nothing is wasted. Help us not to waste the struggles, but instead grow from them and grow through them and even encourage others through them. Help us today, Lord, to have our perspective changed, that we can grow in you and rely on you more, in Jesus' name. And everybody said? In your outlines, suffering happens. Do we get that? When you became a Christian, it all of a sudden didn't become easy. If anybody promised you that, they lied to you. As a matter of fact, sometimes when you become a Christian, it gets harder because you enter into a spiritual battle and now you have an adversary who wants to discourage you, who wants to distract you, who wants to manipulate life so that you'll turn your back on God. So sometimes it even gets tougher when you become a Christian. But praise God, now we have a Lord and Savior who's our advocate, who goes with us and before us and strengthens us. So it's a powerful, powerful life change. But if anybody says, oh, come to Jesus, life will get easy, they're lying to you because it's not true. And if you do believe that, you'll go through a hardship and say, hey, man, I got ripped off. I thought this was going to be this cakewalk, and it's not. Then God must not be real. Well, it's because the premise was set up falsely in the first place. So the first bullet point is this. We got to get used to it. You will suffer. And I didn't expect any amens after that at all. I expected just about what I got, and I feel that way too. Like, oh man, great. Thanks for telling me. Really encouraging. Glad I came. But see, this teaching isn't about the absence of suffering. It's about how you grow stronger through it. Anybody ever like to work out or play sports where you had to train? Suffering, right? But you get better. You work yourself, you hurt, you strain, you sweat, you moan, but you get better. You get stronger. You get faster. And in the spirit, it's the same way. That God has spiritual workouts, so to speak, so that we can grow stronger in the spirit, get more in tune with God in the spirit, become more sensitive to the spirit. Paul is talking about this and he's saying, we went through suffering so now that we can comfort you because God comforted us. And Paul knew a lot about suffering. Later on in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he writes this, 5 times I received the 40 lashes minus one. 39 lashes. Remember when Jesus was whipped before the crucifixion? Paul had that same thing happen 5 times. And the reason he says 40 minus one, because it was commonly believed that if you took 40 lashes, you couldn't live through that. So they would give you 39. They'd take you right to the edge of death and then say no more. 5 times. He had the 39 lashes minus one. 3 times he was beaten with rods. Think baseball bats. And beaten like that. 3 times. 1 time he was stoned and left for dead. 3 times he was shipwrecked and spent a night and a day on the open sea. He says, I was in danger everywhere, from cold, from heat, from hunger, from thirst, from being barren, from people. This guy had a tough life. If you ever feel like, God, it's not fair, just flip over to 2 Corinthians 11 and just reread that passage and then have the nerve to go and turn to God and say it's not fair. All 12 disciples were martyred. Well, 11 of them were martyred. John the Apostle was persecuted desperately and then left on the island of Patmos in exile and died there. They all suffered. 1 Peter says, don't be surprised when you suffer, for Jesus suffered, and if you follow in his steps, you also will suffer. The attitude is this, in Acts chapter 4, when the first disciples and apostles, when they got persecuted, their response was amazing. Their response was this, we rejoice, for we have been considered worthy to suffer for his name. Isn't that an awesome perspective? Man, I think, I don't know if I'd have survived first century Christianity if that was the norm. Now, we talk about sufferings when bad things happen. This is talking about suffering because you're a Christian. But the scripture says he comforts us in all of our suffering. So whether it's persecution or whether it's just day-to-day stuff, God is with you. Well, suffering comes from three places mainly. Mainly three places. One, suffering comes from our making bad decisions. And this is important to take a hold of, because some of us want to always cast blame. And can we just own it? Can we own it this morning? Our bad decisions will cause us to suffer. How many ever get mad at the police officer because he's writing you a ticket for the law that you broke? Right? You did it. Why are you mad at him? He's just doing his job. Sometimes our suffering comes from our bad decisions. Sometimes our suffering comes from the bad decisions of other people. That other people make bad decisions. Someone steals from you, you suffer. Someone abuses you, you suffer. And that's hard. And sometimes we want to cry out to God, say, God, why did you let this happen? And we get angry and upset and frustrated. Sometimes the suffering wasn't because you did anything. It's just the other person made a bad decision. Sometimes our suffering comes from that we live in a fallen world. That there's a flood and people suffer. That there's a natural disaster and people suffer. Back in the Loma Prieta earthquake days in the 80s, it happened in our area and people suffered. Sometimes it's out of our control. Folks, we live in a fallen world. It's not great that we live in a fallen world, but we do. And as a result of that, sin reigns, and the perfect picture that God created in the Garden of Eden is not yet restored until we see Him face to face. So things will happen. Suffering will happen. It will pretty much happen in one of those three areas, where our common reactions to that suffering then are three main ones. There may be others, but mainly that we complain, which leads to anger, which leads to bitterness. Bad trail. Really bad trail. The Bible says in Philippians, do everything without grumbling and complaining. Why does it say that? Because when bad things happen and we suffer, we complain about it. And the more we complain, we get angry. The more we get angry, it takes a root inside of us and it makes us bitter. And that's a dangerous, dangerous heart condition. God wants us to cut it off at the complaining stage so it never gets into that rootedness of being bitter inside of us. That's a cancer that will eat you up. Maybe you've been there when you've got a bitterness against somebody and no matter what, you just can't stand them. You hate them. You're just, you want to even think about bad things to do to them. Bitterness has set in. And no matter what someone would say, you're not going to soften. Isn't that a really bad place to be? That's a heart condition that is a really, really sinful and ugly place. So it can lead you to that. Suffering can also lead you to fear, which leads to worry, which leads to anxiety. Guys, anxiety can kill you. Stress kills people. You get ulcers. You get high blood pressure. You get all kinds of things that happen physically because of anxiety. And that came from your worry, which came from initially fear. That when we start to think, oh, where is God? Oh, what's going to happen? We start to freak out. And then we start to meditate on that. And that's basically what worry is. It's a meditation on your fear. And when that meditation occurs, we get anxious and freak out. And then some people even die as a result of the consequences of extreme anxiety. Maybe you've been there and you had to go seek professional counsel, or you had to take a medication even to lower the levels of anxiety, which if we could just cut it off at the seed of fear, then we could eliminate all that extra problem. And God says 365 times in the Bible, one time for every day, fear not. Fear not, fear not. Why did He say fear not so much? Because He wants us to trust Him and avoid all that problem. So suffering can cause that trail. A final trail that suffering can cause is blaming, which leads to hopelessness, which leads to depression. When we start to blame, a victim mentality. We hear a lot about that today, don't we? It's always somebody else's fault. If they hadn't, I wouldn't have. If they didn't, I wouldn't have had to. If the environment wasn't, if I had a better education, a better home, a better, more money as a kid, better education, if only somebody else would have done something, I wouldn't be the person I am today. Folks, there comes a day when we've got to take ownership. Amen? We got to take ownership for our decisions, our behavior, our thoughts. Now, there are times when we are acted upon, but our reaction is ours. There are ugly things that people do to other people. And we could say, yes, I was a victim of this person's behavior, but my reaction doesn't have to be in kind. I can react differently. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, when someone strikes you, you can't help that. That's abuse. But my reaction isn't strike back. My reaction is turn the other cheek. I can go the extra mile. If he steals my coat, I can give him my cloak. My reaction is what I control. And that's the big difference. Blaming then leads to hopelessness. Because if you're always blaming someone, you really can't control their actions. So it's like, well, what's my hope? I can't control them. I can't control what they're going to do. And they're going to abuse me. And I'm the victim. So I got no hope now. And hopeless people fall into depression. What am I going to do? There's nothing left. No one to save me. No one to help me. No one to be my advocate. No one to rescue me. I'm now just in this pit of depression. And I would imagine a lot of folks in this room have been down that trail because you just lost hope. This is the danger we live in, folks, as a result of suffering. And it's serious. But I want to give you some good news this morning. The good news is that God actually says that we can grow stronger through the suffering. We can get better. We can develop muscle, spiritual muscle, through the suffering. And this morning I want to give you four ways that God will use to strengthen us from the scripture that we read out of 2 Corinthians. You can't avoid the suffering, but what if we could use the suffering for spiritual advantage? That's powerful, isn't it? You can't avoid it. You're going to suffer. But why waste it? Why not suffer and move forward? Suffer and grow. Suffer and be strengthened. Number one, acknowledge and praise God for His comfort. Now, we talked about this a lot last week, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on point one. But Paul starts out this passage with praise. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. He says, praise God! After being whipped 5 times, 40 minus one, beaten with rods 3 times, stoned and left for dead, 3 times shipwrecked, praise, what? Praise God. Paul, are you nuts? Yes. No, not he's not nuts. But yes, he can praise God. Because the God of all comfort, the Father of mercy, is with him. First bullet point, God is not a bystander. He's actively working. Guys, God is not sitting on the sidelines just waiting. Oh, just, I hope they're going to be okay. I'm pretty good here on my nice little heavenly cloud. Good luck down there. Hope you're going to make it. No, God is active. God works on our behalf. Jesus did not come to earth as a result of somebody's cry. Jesus came to earth because he saw a need. He knew the world needed salvation. It was in his eternal plan, and God designed it from his sovereignty to do. God is active. It's our job to figure out what God is doing so often and get in line with him because he's working. We got to get in step with him. He's not a bystander. He's not just hoping you'll be okay. The word comfort there is the same word for the Holy Spirit that Jesus used for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Same word, the Paraclete, the God of comfort, the God who comes alongside of us to help. That's our God. And that word comfort means to exhort or to make stronger. When it says our God is our Comforter, means our God who makes us stronger. That's what he's trying to do. Our God who develops us and develops our spiritual muscles. Second bullet, God is the Father of compassion. He's merciful. good fathers are merciful. Good fathers will show mercy. Good fathers will also comfort in a way to make you stronger. I did discipline my children because I wanted them stronger. And now that they've grown up, they can see that as comforting. At the moment, not comfortable. Not comfortable. Discipline, whatever they had to go through as discipline to get them to stop a certain behavior, not comfortable. Today, looking back, oh, thank you for your comfort, Father, because I'm stronger today. I'm better today than I would have been if you and Mom had been lenient and not attentive to our situation. God is a God of comfort. He's working to strengthen you. He's the God. What does the scripture say? Look in your notes. What does it say? He is the God of what comfort? All comfort. Isn't that the greatest three-letter word ever when it comes to God? All. He doesn't comfort us in some things, in some circumstances. There aren't some things that we go through that are too deep for Him. He comforts us in all circumstances. He's our God. He's with you. He's for you. He's not unaware. He's not unattentive. He's not taking care of some big problem somewhere else and forgetting about yours. He's with you, and He's a God who is active. Praise Him for that. The first step in growing through our suffering is praising God. It's not always praising God for the thing. It's praising God that He's with you in the thing. You get that? If someone were to do something nasty to you, oh, God, thank you that that person abused me. That's just foolish. But it's, God, thank you that you're with me now and that you are the God of comfort even while I go through this thing. And I trust you no matter what. The takeaway here in this particular one is praise God for His mercy and comfort before, during, and after you receive it. Praise Him now. Praise Him now. Even though you haven't seen His comfort yet, praise Him now. He's the God of comfort. He'll be with you. Number two, recognize God will use your suffering for the benefit of others. Here's what the scripture says. So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the suffering of Christ flows, sufferings of Christ flow into our lives, so also through Christ, our comfort overflows. Now, Paul is referring specifically to his own hardships. I gave you the list. He's saying, hey, God comforted us through those times when we were really battling, and I was even left for dead. But God comforted us. Now I can comfort you as a result of the comfort I got. And so we can use the comfort God gives us for others, which means the suffering has value for other people. Now, I don't want you to think that, and I don't think I could do it, that if I'm suffering, I'm not suffering thinking, oh God, thank you for this suffering because I'm going to be able to bless somebody else. To be honest, right now I'm just thinking, this stinks. Can we just be honest about that? Right now, this is lame and I don't want to do it. It hurts. It's hard. It's making me crazy. I feel like I'm going to get angry. All those emotions start to flood in. Nobody is really thinking, oh, thank you, God, because my friend somewhere else is going to get blessed because I'm suffering. We don't think that right then. How does that thought process work? Well, in the notes, sometimes the hardships are yours alone, but you can use them to help others later. You may not see how it's going to be used now. You may not. I'm thankful for our recovery ministry here at Abundant Life. Joy of the Lord Ministries, Don Zonick runs that. Don Zonick is 28 years sober. I guarantee you this, when he was battling for his life in incredible addiction, incredible life-altering habits, he wasn't thinking, God is going to use this for His glory someday. He was just a mess. Just having a really, really hard time. But now, after the fact, when you get God's perspective, when God begins to grow you, develop you, strengthen you, you begin to realize, hey, this can actually turn out for good. It wasn't good, but God can take it and create something good out of it. Aren't you glad that God takes the uglies of this world and can create something beautiful? He can do that. And sometimes he does that over time. Sometimes the hardships are yours alone, and you encourage others in the midst of them. It's powerful. Just recently, in the last couple of years, many of you know, our Margaret Burnham was in a horrible accident. She was hit by a car while she was walking in a crosswalk and was in the hospital for months. During that time, she and her husband John and the family will say, the people in that hospital got a blessing. The nurses, the doctors, they were just blessed because the Burnham family was praising God and giving Him glory in the midst of their suffering. Some 15-ish, I don't even know the number of years, KG and Jeanette Yama, their second daughter, Jana, had cancer, leukemia, in months in the hospital. And they will tell you that God ministered. Now, were they thinking, oh, yeah, we'll gladly go through this so that we can bless others? No, they were thinking, this is horrible. But God began to work. God began to do something, even in the midst of very, very extreme suffering. And to do something beautiful in the midst of it. Sometimes the hardship is for others solely. Now, take Jesus as an example. Did Jesus suffer for himself? No, he suffered for us. He bore the stripes for us. He took the punishment for us. We talked a few weeks ago about Hosea. Hosea went through suffering by taking a prostitute wife and having her be unfaithful. That was for us. That was for God's direction. Sometimes it's for you. It's not always, sometimes it's for others solely. And that God will just do something. And so you may fall in some of those areas. The bottom line is God always has a reason. Now, I'm not saying God caused this in order to do something beyond. Now, he could. For Jesus, he certainly did. For Hosea, he certainly did. Most of the time, things happen because we live in a fallen world. Somebody makes a bad decision. You make a bad decision. But we get our mind together and we say, wait a minute, I can actually grow through this. And you begin to take the perspective of seeing God in it. And that's where we grow. Everybody follow that? Okay, I don't want anybody in here to say, oh, God gave someone cancer or God hurt this person. No, that God does take everything and works them for good, even though those things aren't always good. And we have to follow that. The takeaway here is this. There is always a greater good to come out of every hardship. Some people say, and I tend to agree, that if Christians don't have problems, they have opportunities. Well, I know it's semantics. I get that. Yes, we have problems. But if a Christian's mindset is right and mature, we can say, God, I don't like this. God, this hurts. This is horrible. This is suffering. But I'm going to trust you. And I'm going to see you even in the midst of a very, very hard time. Number three, learn to rely on God and pray effectively. Learn to rely on God and pray effectively. Here's the scripture. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us as you help us with your prayers. Reliance on God and reliance on the power of prayer and the other people's power of prayer. When you suffer, you're forced to rely on God, aren't you? How many pray harder, better, longer when you're hurting? Right? All the time. Not just us. It's actually when things get easy that we're kind of in danger of getting kind of lax with God. Oh, things are great. I don't even need God anymore. Oh, yeah. I talk to Him once in a while, but things are so good. I can manage. I got this. Then the problem happens. We go, oh, God. And we're on our face. We're praying. We're fasting. We got to find God. That's what happens. The suffering makes us rely on Him more often than when we're going through an easy time. Reliance upon God produces patient endurance. It doesn't happen automatically. It's not, oh, I went through a suffering. Oh, patient endurance is going to come out the ATM on the other side. No, you have to decide. You have to decide to praise Him in that. You have to decide to say, God, I will trust You in this. And that even though it's hurtful and hard, I will see You. You have to go through the steps. It's not automatic. But if you will trust Him, you'll see that the reliance on God will produce the patient endurance. You will get stronger. You will be able to bear more, not for the purpose of bearing, but the purpose of ministering. And God will do great things. How many have ever heard, just give it to God? How many have said in your heart, what does that mean? How do you give it to God? What does that mean, give it to God? Wrap it up, put a bow on it, say, God, here you go. Send it as an email. How do you give your difficulties and your sufferings to God? Well, let me just give you some trustworthy tips. I mentioned before that worry is really meditation on the fear, right? That's what worry is. You have to take that worry, that fear, that complaint, that whatever it is, and you have to flip it and now meditate on the goodness of God. God has promises in His Word. Amen? He's got promises. I will be with you. I will never forsake you. I am all powerful. I will walk beside you. When you walk through the waters, I will be there. When you walk through the fire, I will be there. I will finish the good work that I began in you. We can talk about thousands of promises in God's Word. So instead of meditating on the issue, we begin to meditate on the promises of God. And in our spirit, we say, God, I trust You. God, I will follow You. God, I will obey You. God, I will choose today to honor You and not fear. God, You are strong. God, You are good. God, You are my comforter. God, You are my source. You are my ever-present, merciful Father. And as you begin to do that, that's giving it to God. It's not, oh God, this is a mess and I can't stand it. I'm not stressed and I'm going to be depressed and it's somebody else's fault and it's your fault. Why weren't you there? That's worry. That's immature, crazy talk from somebody who's in a panic. Giving it to God says, God, this is hard. There's no candy coating it. But I trust You. Yet will I serve You. Yet will I praise You. Yet will I honor You. Yet, oh, I felt that. I felt that coming in. I felt that discouragement. I refuse the discouragement. I choose Your promises and Your Word. Oh, I felt that complaint coming. I refuse to complain. I choose to praise. That's giving it over to God. And can you almost see the spiritual muscles working, right? When you do that, that's like spiritual workout. No, yes. And it's learning and developing that habit pattern and that strength inside of your life. The reliance on God, second bullet, requires humble submission. If you're going to give it to God, you have to say, I'm weak, You're strong. You can't be strong and then be relying on God at the same time. Like you've heard it many times, the illustration of a lifeguard can't rescue a drowning person until the drowning person stops fighting. Because if he tries to rescue him when he's fighting, they both go down. God says, I'll wait. I'll wait until you just realize you're too weak. And at the end of 2 Corinthians, you read this. When Paul said, I got a problem, but I'm weak. And in my weakness, His strength is perfected. We remain humble and say, God, I can't do this. Get this. We got to get to the place where there's no plan B. There is no plan B. It's God. God is our source. God is our plan. But in saying that, don't now remove the times when God tries to be your source and you ignored it. There's an illustration you probably heard many times before. But the man who's caught on one side of a roaring flood rising river and his family's on the other side and he's desperately trying to get to the other side. And he calls out to God, God, save me and help me get to the other side. Well, as he prays, somebody throws a rope across. He says, no, I'm waiting on God for my rescue. And then a boat comes by. Says, here, I'll help you. No, I'm waiting on God for my rescue. And a helicopter flies over. He says, no, thank you. I'm waiting on God. And he dies because the floodwaters overtake him. And he sees God. Says, God, why didn't you rescue me? God, I tried to rescue you three times. You weren't paying attention. Sometimes God's answer is right in front of us. But God is not your credit card. God is not, you know, an extra something other. God is God. So we don't negate the things that God has provided that can help us while we're waiting for some miracle to fall into our laps. But we trust Him in all things. I'm thankful for doctors. I don't need to say, no, I'm trusting God, so I don't need a doctor. No, God gave us doctors. He gave us good sense to go and find one and to listen to their counsel and to follow along while we pray, while we trust. And God can heal whenever He wants. You get it, right? Not to ignore the things that God has given us because we're seemingly waiting for some other thing. Last bullet, prayer is the great power, not the last resort. Prayer is our greatest power. It's not the last resort. Pray now. Pray at the beginning. Pray in the middle. Pray at the end. Pray all the time. Start with prayer. End with prayer. Prayer is your greatest power. And we sometimes say, oh, I've tried everything. I might as well pray. Well, now we've got ourselves a little bit backwards. Pray first. Pray always. Pray through. Pray at the end. Pray. And Paul says, as you help me with your prayers, ask other people to help you pray. Now remember, though, while you pray, just because you prayed doesn't mean God's going to do what you say. God is not your ATM. He's not your vending machine. If you are wrong, God will change you while you pray. If your request is wrong, God will say no. And we have to be satisfied with that. If the timing is wrong, God will say wait. If everything's right, He'll say yes. We just need to keep praying through until we understand one of those replies. We just pray and go, cool, I'm done, see you, God. And then if it doesn't turn out our way, we get mad at Him. When we didn't pray through to really see how He was working in the situation. Takeaway here is learn to pray. God, I cannot endure this on my own. I need You. I trust You. I will wait for You. That helps us rely on God. And number four, let's finish up here. God will receive greater glory by the praises of those You have helped, or who have helped You or been comforted by You. Scripture says this, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answers to the prayers of many. Let me just say that don't be bashful to ask for prayer. Don't be bashful. Ask Him or ask others. Say, would you pray with me? Sometimes, I'm not frustrated with everybody. Please don't take this next comment negatively. It's not meant to be negative. But when we have time for prayer at the end of service, we usually have a few people come and the majority of us leave. And I know that some people just don't want to. They don't want to come. They don't want to, and it's kind of weird. They don't want to be embarrassed or whatever. Listen, it's powerful. Pray together. You don't even have to come to a prayer partner. Turn to somebody that's a friend of yours in the sanctuary. And before you leave, would you grab them and say, you know what? I'm kind of going through something. Would you pray with me? There's power in agreement in prayer. God responds when we agree. Two or three, the Bible says, that His presence is in our midst. He'll meet us there. Don't be bashful to ask someone to pray. It's not an admission of weakness. Well, it is an admission of weakness because remember, we all have to be weak for Him to be strong. But it's not this. Oh, I can't do it. You know, no, it's strong to say, I want this healed. I want this relief. I want God the Comforter to meet me. Would You help me? Two are better than one, the Bible says, right? A cord of many strands are not easily broken. Why not bind together stronger and get prayer together? Prayer gives value to others by asking for their prayer support. One of the greatest compliments you could get is for somebody to say, hey, you know what? I trust you're a praying person. Would you pray for me? Would you pray with me right now? That's powerful. And that really encourages everybody else as we see value in each other, in our ability to intercede for each other and to be faithful to each other. I will add this though. When you ask somebody or somebody asks you to pray for them, pray for them. Okay. None of this Facebook thoughts and prayers. When all that really means is, yeah, I thought about you once and the prayer didn't really happen. If you say, oh, we'll be praying, pray. Really pray. Get on your face. Get on your knees and pray. Seek God. And then watch what God will do. God will begin to respond. Last bullet. Seeking God with others opens the door for God to comfort you. When you ask God, others to help you, God will not only comfort you, He will, but He'll also encourage everybody else as their prayers got answered. Isn't it awesome? When we pray for something and God answers it, we can all go, God is great. All of us get to do that when we pray. Keep it to yourself. You get to say God is great, and it's nice. How much better to say we all get encouraged because God is great. Because you simply asked for somebody to pray for you. This is how we turn suffering into strength. Praise God. Praise Him through it all. Always do that. Learn to rely on Him. I think I skipped a point right there. Thank you, Ruja, for coming up. Yeah, I did. Recognize God will use suffering for others. There's always a purpose. You can, if you're looking, you will be able to see it. Sometimes not right away, sometimes later. But God will do something through it. Learn to rely on Him by giving it to Him. Lord, I trust You. I will follow Your word. I won't listen to the worry that wants to creep into my brain. I'll trust You and I'll rely on You. I know I'm weak, but You're strong. And I'm going to get others to help me. And we're going to pray together. And as we do that, you will find yourself strengthened. And when you go through a suffering time, and we all will, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be fun. You're not going to like it. But when you go through and you come out, you'll be able to say, the God of comfort comforted me. Therefore, I can comfort others. And the body of Christ is built and the kingdom is expanded. So I praise God for the suffering because of what He did through it. That's victory. Amen. Later on in the scripture, I close with this. Oh, I forgot the takeaway. Allow others to experience the joy of answered prayer in your life. I said that, but didn't want to miss it for those of you that needed that. In chapter 2, verse 15, it says this. We are the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. And I want to ask, are you a fragrance? Are you a fragrance today? That even through your suffering, the fragrance of your life is a fragrance of life to people. It might be the fragrance of death because people see what they don't have. It's not necessarily a negative, like you smell in such a way that's going to kill them. No, it means that they can see their death because of the fragrance of life that you have. To others, it's a praiseworthy thing because the fragrance is already life. So there's two calls I want to bring to us this morning. Number one, if you're suffering, that you can take these principles that Paul has given us out of his suffering and today make a decision to begin to grow stronger through your suffering rather than just be pummeled by how hard it is. That's the first call. Second call is, are we people who are that fragrance? That we are giving off that fragrance so that the praise or that the ones who have life can give glory and the ones who are living in death can be resurrected and can come into life. So let's pray that together today, shall we? Bow your heads with me, would you? We'll close up. Lord, help us today. I know that in this room, because every Sunday, there's a segment of people who are going through what they would call suffering. For some, it may be less extreme than others. But when it's your suffering, it's hard no matter what. God, I pray today that wherever you find us in our position, that we would be able to say, Lord, I will praise you. I will praise you for the purpose I'm going to see. I will rely on you and learn to pray with fervency, and I will invite others to pray with me. And God, that we'll begin to see strength coming into our lives. If you're here this morning, your head's bowed and your eyes are closed, you'd say, Pastor, I'm in a suffering time right now, and I needed these principles. I want to choose today not just to worry or to complain or to fear or to blame anybody else, or even blame you, God, today I choose to start the process of growing strong through suffering. If you're there today, why don't you slip up a hand, put it back down? Yeah, yeah, all over. Thank you. You can put it right back down once you've raised it. Sure, thank you. Yeah, that's pretty normal. Every week there's hurting people. I'm going to pray for you, but at the end of service, would you, if you haven't yet been accustomed to doing it, would you just take time either to turn to somebody in the seats before you leave or to come to a prayer partner, one of the two, and let's pray together. Ask someone to walk with you and to, and then once you've prayed, ask them, say, hey, would you check in on me? Check in on me. Help me. Because I really need a brother. I need a sister to walk through me. Okay, secondly, heads bowed and your eyes are closed. If you're saying, you know, I want to be more of a fragrance. I haven't really, you know, been able to be that light that Rick talked about before. And through the times I go through, I want others to be able to see my God in the midst of even a hard time. I want to be that fragrance. If that's you this morning, would you slip up a hand? Put it back down. Yeah. Yeah, me too. I want that too. I'm not real excited about going through suffering, but if God will use it to glorify His name and to help somebody, okay. So let's pray one more time. Can we stand while we pray? Let's do that. And prayer partners, as I pray, would you come and take a place up front? Let's ask God to start helping us be strong in our suffering. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this powerful passage in 2 Corinthians. Lord, I thank you for a man like Paul who was able to go through such extreme things, yet at the same time, he would praise you and that he would even consider it worthwhile so that he could comfort others. And he learned to rely on you because of those hardships. And he learned to pray with others and receive strength. God, help us to also be like that. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that we would rob a victory from Satan, who wants to discourage us and distract us with struggles, or even just the natural flow of life. Lord, help us to snatch a victory, because we've learned to grow stronger when suffering comes. God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that we would be a strong church, not because of the absence of suffering, but because of the reaction we have to suffering. I thank you, God, and praise you for your glory in this place. Father, I lift you and thank you. Whether it's in pleasure or in pain, we thank you. In the blessed name of Jesus, the strong Son of God. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Rudel's going to lead us in a closing chorus. As he leads us, come and pray with someone or turn to someone by you. But let's make this a house of prayer, all right? There were so many hands that went up. We got to pray with somebody. So let's do that before we leave. And let's give God glory as we set out this week to become strong, even in suffering. Amen.